Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to the December 9th meeting of the Board of Education, and I would ask our superintendent to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Turning to number three on the agenda, changes in the meeting agenda. There are a number. We have replacement pages, item E, the fall class size report. We're going to move that item for board action. We're going to make that item T1. We're going to item V1 schedules A4 and A6. And item V2, schedule B2, has been replaced. We have three addenda. Item U1, the establishment of an administrative position. Item U2, the approval of agreement between the Three Village Central School District and the Three Village Teachers Association. And item U3, the approval of agreement between the Three Village Central School District and the Three Village Substitute Teachers Association. Turning now to number four, student and staff recognition.
We are very fortunate this evening in that we will be honoring many of our students, and we're going to start by introducing Dr. Natalie Lillevoix from Setauket Elementary School.
That better? There we go. Good evening. The World Education Games is powered by 3P Learning in association with UNICEF, is the world's largest free online education competition. It is held every 2 years. When I reviewed the information, it caught my attention as another way to provide enriching opportunities for all students that was aligned with our standards without the emphasis on high-stakes testing, and it included data-driven evidence. You might recognize that language as part of our board goals for student achievement and engagement. Just as a sidebar, I want you to know that it also represents my proactive approach to budget planning and development to sustain those programs as described on our budget development goals, because it also happens to be free. Our schools complete challenge questions over 3 days on October 13th to 15th, and the three key events are the World Literacy Day with independent learning and critical spelling awareness, the World Math Day with curriculum-aligned math content, including fluency activities, reasoning, and problem-solving, and the World Science Day, interactive activities, virtual experiments, digitally simulated real-world environments. Over 6 million students from 20,000 schools in 159 countries were registered this year. 21 of those students were from Mrs. Wall's fourth grade class at Setauket. We are very proud to share the Setauket school results with you, and I ask Mrs. Wall to join me.
Okay, together we answered 5,393 questions. Just for the World Literacy Day, we played 44 games. Severin Bailey, please come up. He earned 1,547 points for literacy. Caitlin Matthews, please come up. She earned 1,026 points in literacy. And Alexa Kidd, please come on up. She earned 906 points in literacy. For the World Math Day, we played 109 games, and Alexa, which is up here already, she earned 291 points for her math games. Okay. Will McGovern, please come up. He earned 290 points as well. And Matthew Anderson, he earned 168 points. Okay. For World Science Games, we played 5 games, and Alexa, who participated in all 3 subject areas, earned 58 points. Congratulations to all Setauket students, and we look forward to even more participating in 2017 World Education Games.
I'm having myself. All right, okay.
Okay, Alexa, come on up.
Okay.
Congratulations, and again, thank you to Dr. Lillivoy and Ms. Wall. We are extremely excited this evening to be able to honor our varsity field hockey team and to do the introductions. Our Executive Director for Health, Physical Education, Recreation, and Athletics, Peter Mallory.
Oh, there you go. I've only been here since Tuesday, obviously, but I just bit of a whirlwind. But I would just like to say that it's been exciting so far, and it is a privilege to work here, and I really look forward to sustaining the tradition of excellence that's been set here across many facets in the community and in the district. So it's an exciting opportunity. Hopefully I'll be able to sustain that and help and contribute to that as well. But tonight, speaking of excellence, I'd like to bring up in a moment Coach Shannon Watson to introduce this very, very special 2015 field hockey championship team. I had the pleasure of talking with Coach Watson a couple of days ago, and what I was so impressed by is everything she talked about was about these young ladies, their effort, their attitude, their commitment, and she never talked about herself, and she never talked about the credit that belonged to the coaching staff. She talked about the ladies, and that was her humility was very impressive. And also was impressive, which I know she wouldn't want me to talk about, but I will, is what she's done and how she's led this program the last 13 years. Through her guidance and expertise, this program has been to 10 county finals, winning 7 county championships. They've won 5 Long Island championships. They've made it to 3 state finals, and they won their first state championship in 2008. Very impressive. And now this team has made their own mark to sustain this tradition of excellence for our field hockey program. So on behalf of the entire athletic community, I'd like to thank our assistant coaches, Shaylin Butler, our JV coach, Liz Byrne, Shannon Watson, our head coach. But most of all, I'd like to thank the players and bring up Coach Watson to introduce him.
First and foremost, I just wanted to thank the board for recognizing the girls. I think it says a lot. They hear it from me all the time, how proud I am of them, but to see them gain so much support from their fans and their peers and their parents and now the board, it really just speaks volumes of how incredible their season was and how remarkable these young ladies are. Some of them are not here tonight. That is due to the fact that they were sending me messages saying, I have this paper to do, I have that. So it just shows you that they're not just remarkable on the field, but they do the same in the classroom. So thank you for that. Can I just speak loud? Is that okay? Can I call them out like that? So we have Lexi Reinhart. Here, Kate Alventosa, is she not here?
She's here.
She's here. Frankie Henberry. Yeah. Emily Hulley. Julia LaCorey. Hannah Lorenzen. Kate Mulham. Bella Nealon. Rosalie Paglia. Kelly Quinn. Sarah Rorty. Cassidy Rogers-Helian. Elizabeth Hill.
Olivia Schmidt is not here this evening. Kayla Sullivan. Sydney Tasman, unable to be here. Caitlin Thornton. Kerry Thornton.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Wang, I don't believe, is here this evening. Sean Davenport.
Congratulations, Coach Watson, and the 2015 field hockey team. We're very proud.
Thank you very much.
So, as we move on in our agenda, if the students would like to leave, we won't be offended. We understand that you get up very early in the morning, so we'll give you an opportunity. You're welcome.
But if you want to stay, you can too. We're not throwing you out. I'd like to turn now to our first of two public participation sessions. Each will last up to 30 minutes in length, and we ask each individual to limit his or her comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Yes, sir.
I really didn't think I'd be first, but that's okay. First thing, just as not this, my
name,
is Jay Schoenfeld, live in South Setauket. Graduate of Ward Melville back in the day. One child graduated, another still there. First, before I get into what I came about, let me just suggest that you put some kind of signs up for people who've never been to a board meeting so they could actually figure out how to get here. You know, I mean, people can find North Country, but, you know, I went to the front door and nobody answered, and it'd be good to have, like, a sign or something that go around the back, even if you put it on the notice that's in the front door.
It's a very good idea.
Meeting in the back or something like that.
Yes, yes.
So it would have, anyway. But the reason I'm here tonight, I've heard, actually, that the, and I don't know if you've actually formally adopted a policy, but I know that the school district is currently not allowing trips into New York City for various reasons, mostly related to the, I'll call them inflated threats of terrorism, and I think that that's a mistake. I think the threats have been overinflated. I know other districts have done it. I think it's an overreaction to what's going on. I think it lets the terrorists win. We have people from this community going into the city every day, whether it be for work, for pleasure, for shopping, for whatever. The trains are all running. And I think, you know, if parents for some reason feel, I think, first of all, the fear gives into the terrorists and support what they're trying to do. And I think, frankly, if parents are worried, they always have the option to not let their child participate in trips. But I think for the vast majority of us, I'm going into the city on Sunday. My son is participating in the Tuba Christmas at Rockefeller Center. People go in for work every day. Maybe some of you out there. And, you know, people have gone in to see the tree, to watch the parade, whatever. I think we should let people go and do the trips. If the trips have value, we should allow them. So that's my piece. And I think I don't know whether you've actually adopted the policy or it's just kind of an administrative decision at this point to not do that. But I know at least there's one trip pending that my son was told, well, we're not going because of this. So I would urge you to reconsider that and act accordingly.
I'm happy to respond. We actually had a meeting with our principals and directors, and we looked at. There's no policy. The district has a practice of reviewing these trips as they come up and making a decision. Mm-hmm. And we did decide, based on what had happened and the threats, that until the end of December, that we weren't going to have any trips into New York. We recognized that a lot of people, our family members that work in New York City, and that people visit New York for pleasure and for employment as well. But we felt that if parents were making the decision to bring their children in, that would be their decision. But if that we were going to have a field trip, there were many parents who expressed concern about it and were withdrawing their children from that. So that creates an issue for us that we have to balance. And so we said, based on the threats, that the elevated concern in New York, that until the end of December, we weren't going to have any trips into New York. So there was, to my knowledge, I believe two trips that had been canceled, one at the high school and one at the junior high school. And that we said in January we would reevaluate, and at this point there is nothing that is preventing any trips moving forward. But we felt at that particular point in time when we needed to make a decision, that was the decision made. And we understand that there are many different viewpoints, and I understand that the commissioner of the police department in New York City has made a very public statement about it being very safe, but we felt that in the best interest of our students that we had to make the decision based on the information that we had currently available to us at that particular time.
Okay, so the expectation is that trips for the spring will go on as
yes,
planned?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, yep. Thank mm-hmm. you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to address the board at this time? Okay, thank you. Turning to number 6, minutes and bids, the minutes of November 18th, 2015. May I have a motion, please? Jonathan, and second, Ms. Pitlinka. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Two abstentions. The minutes are approved. It's four. We have four. The minutes are approved.
Sorry, I saw Jeff saying
times. Yes. Turning to B, the electrical, the bid title, electrical repairs and service.
Do you want to me explain first
yeah.
or motion first?
Yeah.
We currently use a BOCES contract for electrical repairs, And we did a bid to see if we could get a lower price. The bids came in higher than what we pay BOCES, so our recommendation is to reject all bids.
Okay. May I have a motion, please, on the proposal? Ms. Mendelson, Mrs. Gish, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to number 7, reports, our student representative report. Joey?
Over the weekend, our varsity cheerleaders went to Nationals in Pennsylvania, where they earned a bid to Nationals, which is held every year in February at Walt Disney World in Florida. So all the girls this week on the team were really excited and proud of what their team could do in getting their bid to Nationals. Also over the weekend, several of our music students participated in the All-State Music Festival, upstate in Rochester. And coming up, we have a few events at the school. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are the show dates for this year's musical at Ward Melville, Young Frankenstein. The show starts at 7:30 each night, and ticket information is on the district website. Also coming up is the Players' Show, A Charlie Brown Christmas, which will be on Wednesday, December 23rd at 5 p.m.
Very good. Very good. Thank you very much. Next is a report on secondary math. Mr. Scanlon?
It's my pleasure to introduce our three math chairs for the district, Laura McNamara, Rocco Vetro, and Don Ambrose, who are going to be presenting about our math program.
Good evening. On behalf of Laura and Rocco, I'd like to thank the board members for inviting us tonight to present on the mathematics of the Three Village District. The big topic in math, I'm sure, is no surprise. It's the Common Core. And so there are six major shifts that are inherently occurring with the implementation of the Common Core. In the conferences that I went to over the past year or so, one of the big things I think that was emphasized as a really important shift was the shift number 4 on deep understanding. In years past, or in the old curriculum, when students were presented with a math problem, the goal for them was just to come up with an answer. That was it, get the right answer. But with the Common Core, now the objective has changed for students. It's not just getting the answer. It's looking at the problem, really examining the nuances of it, and then from examining it and pulling back on the mathematical concepts that they've developed over time, they really have to try to put it all together to devise some sort of resolution to the problem and come up with an answer. So it's definitely a lot more that's going to be expected of our students in this Common Core, and that's something that, it's a key part of this change. So in terms of making this change into the classroom, there are various mathematical practices that are being used to help with this particular shift over to the Common Core. The first one you see here, making sense of problems and persevering and solving them, that really goes into, again, that depth of understanding. Students really have to understand what's going on, and that will help them in problem solving. But it's not going to be an easy task for both our students and our teachers. They're going to really have to struggle with it and really persevere through it. And if they can do this, then it'll strengthen their mathematical knowledge and they'll be successful with the math. So we have here other practices. The other one I thought of note was number 4, which is modeling with mathematics. Not only are students expected to really obtain a depth of understanding, they also are being supplied with real-life situations, and they have to, once again, fall back on the math that they've learned and try to figure out, well, what is it that I'm going to apply here that I've learned in math to this particular real-life situation to solve it and come up with an answer to a particular situation. So all these practices, again, are being really used to help with that change over to the Common Core. So at the junior high, we have a variety of classes that are there to help meet all the different needs of our students. We have classes that range from all the way from our theory classes, which are really meant for those students who enjoy math and they like to see how that math is developed. And then we have those classes, and they range from there all the way to lab classes at the different grade levels. And those lab classes are there, once again, to help with the students who struggle with the mathematics, but are there to support them so that they, too, can be successful with the math. The other thing to note, at the junior high school, students will start to take our Regents courses beginning in grade 8. And by grade 9, the majority of all students are enrolled in one Regents course or another. Going to the high school, at the high school, all three Regents classes are offered there so that students can satisfy the graduation requirements. And in particular, if students want to get the Advanced Regents Diploma, they need to successfully complete all three of the math Regents classes. Once students have successfully completed those classes, we have a variety of other elective courses that students can take that will challenge them mathematically and expose them to other math that's out there. Students who by their senior year can get into or can get to pre-calculus, they can receive college credit through Suffolk Community College's Excelsior program. We offer a variety of AP courses, and I should just note that the calculus courses and the statistics courses, their curriculums will also be changing, mainly due to the Common Core, and the changes there will also be somewhat reflective of it. For example, in calculus, one of the things that they want to have in the new calculus curriculum is, again, a depth of understanding that they want students to have a depth of understanding as they're solving problems. The AP Computer Science Principles course, that's going to be a new course offered by the College Board next year, and that's something that down the road we'll definitely look to try to incorporate as an offer as a course at the high school. We have multivariable calculus, which students can also receive college credit through Stony Brook University's ACE program. And then finally, in 2017, we're hoping to develop differential equations, a course that students can take if they successfully complete multivariable before their senior year.
All right. Good evening. Okay, so I'm going to discuss the curriculum that we teach in grade 7 through Algebra 2. And what you're going to find, and Donald mentioned some of the key shifts that are occurring in the Common Core. And I'm going to focus primarily on the idea that there's a greater focus on fewer topics. So math has traditionally been a mile wide and an inch deep, and the Common Core has changed that. There's a lot less topics and a lot more depth to them. There's also a lot of coherence. Sometimes that's referred to as the progressions across the grade level. We now link topics and thinking across the grade levels and across the courses. And there's also rigor. There's more conceptual understanding, there's more application involved, and there's fluency involved at each grade level and in each course as well. And the fluency expectations are that students can perform specific skills quickly and accurately, but not at the expense of understanding. So in grade 7, you're going to see here some of the critical areas, among other things, that are taught in grade 7. But the primary focus of the 7th grade mathematics program is on arithmetic operations with rational numbers and using them in expressions, equations, and in real-life models as well. In grade 8, you'll see, again, there are some critical areas of instruction that teachers focus on. Primarily in grade 8, they take their knowledge of rational numbers and linear equations and expressions, and they expand that now to systems of equations and two variables, using what they've learned in 7th grade and continuing on in 8th grade.
The next course in the sequence is Algebra 1. And in Algebra 1, again, you can see some of the key curricular components that are taught. And one of the key fluencies now in Algebra 1 is to take what the students have learned in 7th and 8th grade and develop the concept of polynomial operations, addition, subtraction, and multiplication, as well as transforming expressions and performing more mindful manipulations rather than just following algorithms, so starting to develop a deeper understanding of linear algebra. In geometry, there are some curricular components here as well that the teachers do focus on. And in the geometry course, in eighth grade, the students are exposed to some geometry concepts as well, which are primarily hands-on and visual. And now when students reach the geometry course, the geometry is more, they develop more formal definitions, and they apply their algebra skills that they've learned through the years in geometric areas as well. And then finally, in Algebra 2, students continue to develop their ideas from Algebra 1. Algebra 1 spends a large portion of time developing the concept of functions, linear, quadratic, and exponential. That's continued in Algebra 2 and expanded to include logarithmic functions as well as subtrigonometric functions as well. And some of the resources that teachers are using include smart boards and light pens have become an integral part of our classroom to make it more interactive. The calculators as well in grade 7 and 8, students primarily will use the scientific calculators for computational work. Starting in algebra, the graphing calculators have really become an integral tool, and teachers are helping students to understand when it's appropriate to use the mathematical tool and how to use it to help them to solve mathematical problems beyond just the basic four operations that calculators have traditionally been used for. Also, some online resources that teachers are currently using, the eMath instruction program has really become present in our algebra classes as well as Algebra 2, and Castle Learning teachers across all the grade levels have been using for an online resource for students as well. Thank you.
Good evening. Oops. This slide shows our passing rates, our district compared to the state, and this is just from the June 2015 Common Core Algebra, Common Core Geometry, and the Algebra 2 Trigonometry Regents exams. And as you can see, our students outperformed the state average significantly. Our minimum passing rate was 70% in all three exams, and the state about 55 to 60%. So we're doing a really good job. Mastery is when a student receives 85 or higher on the Regents exams, and this slide really shows the gap between our district and the state. As you can see, between all the past, with the June Regents exams, for this reason, our minimum mastery level was 25% up into 40%, whereas the state average between 5 and 20. So this definitely shows the gap that we're looking to see. One of the reasons why we're so successful, I believe, is because we're constantly utilizing our professional development opportunities. Through conferences for our teachers and our own administrators, as well as utilizing our superintendent conference days to review item analysis of the Regents exams, state assessments, finals. We're constantly seeking ways to improve our instruction and making sure our children are getting what they need and making sure they're in the right classes and all of that. Some of the measures we're taking to improve, we are currently piloting Go Math in the 7th grade, as well as the Digits program, as well as the IXL program, which is an online resource. We're trying to improve our 7th grade mathematics program as we transition. Obviously, we adapted the Common Core, but as we transition to more resources, we're looking for more things that can help our teachers out. The junior high and high school work well together because we have similar courses, we have similar exams. But one of the things we're trying to improve on is our elementary junior high articulation. And last year, we were on the elementary math committee, the three of us, to help decide on a good pilot program and a good book to use in the elementary school with the Go Math. And right now we're currently working on the IG program and trying to come up with a nice curriculum for that, a solid curriculum. We're always looking to help out Stony Brook. We've been accepting micro teachers, student observers, student teachers in the past, and we'll continue to do that. We know that the future of education, and we got to help them out. Obviously, in high school and the junior highs, we're utilizing the bring-your-own device. It's under teacher preferences. You know, if students have their phones out, obviously we're not letting them use it unless the teacher's it's under the discretion of the teacher. But it's definitely technology is the future, and we would definitely want to utilize that. Vertical and horizontal articulation. Throughout our grade levels, our teachers work together to make sure they're working on the same tasks, their lessons are the same, or even between junior highs, Murphy and Jelinas, the teachers are definitely working together to make sure the alignment is the same. But we want to make sure we're articulating vertically, though, between the elementary school to the high school, so that's one of the things we want to work on. We're constantly using benchmark assessment designs. We have quarterly exams, we have midterms, we have finals, we have quizzes, tests, just like a normal class, and you know, we're using those tests to basically see where our students are, see if they're properly placed, see if they belong in a lab class, see if they come out of a lab class, see if they'll be placed in honors, come out of honors. We'll constantly want to make sure the kids are getting what they need. So these benchmark exams are really seeing, you know, where we belong. One other thing we'd use this for is to see common trends that the kids make and want to make sure we don't repeat them. Moodle is one of the tools that we're trying to trying to have our teachers use more. An example of is my counterpart, Laura McNamara's Moodle page, where it shows basically if a teacher has this set up, their students and parents can go home, you can access this, they can see the worksheets they've been doing in class, the assignments that are coming up, tests, quizzes, any announcements the teacher wants to make for her class. It's another tool that the kids and parents can use. Whoa, that's cool. So long-term goals that we have in the math department are listed here. Obviously, you want to further implement the Common Core curriculum practices. We're constantly looking for ways to improve this. We're going to increase mastery on the Common Core Regents exams as well as the passing rates, continue articulation between elementary schools, junior high, high school. We have a great department here, and we meet all the time. We talk all the time. We're always looking for ways to improve and help each other out. Obviously, you want to continue to integrate technology into the classroom, like Laura spoke about, with the smart boards, the light pens. The teachers are constantly using the technology. We know it's out there. We're trying to get better at it. The kids are already ahead of us with it, so we're trying to keep up. But it's something we are definitely learning, and we want to improve on. And obviously, at the high school, we want to encourage some more upper-level courses for the future. And that's it. Any questions?
Any questions? Suzanne, yes.
Thank you all so much for sharing in the presentation. I think you all did a great job of explaining what's going on with math. I have a few questions just about the theory courses. If you can just expand a little bit, whomever,
sure.
About the depth within which you are delving into
yes.
mathematics.
Well, our honors program is accelerated. Students begin a year early. There is some enrichment that takes place as well. The theory course is fully accelerated and fully enriched. So students not only across all the courses, there is that expectation of a depth of understanding, but in the theory course, it's really taken to another level. So not only are application of concepts developed with more intensity, but formulas and concepts are derived as well. So students know where they came from, how to apply them, and then they apply them in much greater depth than they do in an honors or in a grade level course.
Okay, so what is the ninth grade sequence if they've taken the theory class in seventh and then in eighth? What do they take in ninth grade? Are they taking one of the classes from the high school? Or are they mm-hmm. okay?
They're taking the Algebra 2.
Okay,
the Algebra 2, which this year is housed at Jelinas.
Okay,
next year will be housed at Jelinas and Murphy.
Oh, terrific! Okay, so they won't have to be traipsing back and forth.
Right.
Thank you. The Algebra 2 and Trig that we currently offer, mm-hmm. that will no longer be a separate
Correct.
Course, just the Algebra 2.
Correct.
Got it. Okay, Correct. Good. That's been a really challenging course. In fact, as you know better than I, 2011, I think the majority of students in New York mm-hmm. State, 2011, mm-hmm. failed that
Absolutely.
Particular Regents. I saw that firsthand. Yeah, 2011. It's It's gotten better, but,
yes.
but
yes.
it still has one of the lower pass rates mm-hmm. of the Regents exams.
The Algebra 2 Common Core, though, is it's obviously there are changes, but yeah, it's going to be equally difficult, or even maybe even more difficult than the Algebra Trig.
I think what got most of the students in the Algebra 2 and Trig was the Trig portion more than the Algebra. To tell you the truth, from what students have told me, anyway.
It is. Trig is definitely a difficult aspect,
yes.
but
we'll see what happens.
currently in our theory courses right now, we are teaching to both the old and the new, and we're trying to do both. And the new Common Core of the Algebra 2 is definitely we're finding it's equally challenging for mm-hmm. students.
Good.
But the performance on the Regents exams really are stellar, and that is very nice to see.
Absolutely.
As you pointed out.
So. Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Great
Thank
job,
you.
All of you. Thank you. Okay. Turning to the report of the Audit Committee. Jonathan, just a brief report. The audit meeting.
I think that you know there was some routine housekeeping stuff that we reviewed. Everything was in order with respect to the budget line transfers and that kind of stuff. But I think that you know I was just trying to think of like what was particularly notable from the meeting. I think one thing was that we had talked about that we were going to initiate a demographic study to try to get a sense of what the long term needs of the district would be. It's something that we've done periodically. And we felt that it was time to do that again. That was probably the big, you know, the only thing that was sort of non-routine housekeeping. The rest of everything was in order, and there was nothing really notable to mention from the meeting.
Very good. And the reports from that meeting will be voted on later under items for board action and so forth. Dr. Kerman, on the facilities?
Facilities. The bond is moving along nicely. We have a little bit of a hitch now because of the amount of stuff that's up in Albany. To approve some of our further things, so we may have to hold off on some of our doing rest of the bond issue for the rest of the schools until we get approval from Albany. We're trying to perhaps wiggle around some of that, but we'll have to see because we need approval from Albany before we can continue. The solar systems are all drawn up, from what I remember, and we will soon be presenting those to put up on the buildings. And basically the facilities, one of the things we'd also talked about was the demographic because of our facilities, you know, that's the use of the schools. And it was talked about, you know, as far as keeping all of our elementary schools up and running at this point. So that's basically it at facilities.
Very good. Thank you very much. Any questions from my colleagues?
Mr. Connors, can I just mention the holdup at the Office of Facilities Planning with our plans is nothing related to our plans. It's their holdup. As of this moment, if you look on the Office of Facilities Planning, the next engineering review, and that's what the holdup is, it was logged into the review system on January 22nd. That's the next one that they'll do. So it's close to a year, literally plans sitting on a shelf waiting for close to a year, that one. So what we'll be doing sometime probably in January is asking our local state representatives at the state legislature to see if they could
facilitate
the facilities office of facilities planning. Yes, so that's what the holdup is. It's
good. Thank you very much. Turning to item 8, items for board discussion. Are there any items that need to be discussed by the board this evening? See none. Turn to 9, items for board action, the appointment of a superintendent's hearing officer per H. May I have a motion, please? Mrs. Gish, Ms. Mendelson, second. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. What I'd like to do with items I through N. I through N are the various reports that were presented at the last audit committee meeting. I'd like to collectively vote on those if that's approved. Okay. Dr. Kerman? Ms. Mendelson, second. Any discussion on those five? Jeff, do you have anything to?
No, these are the monthly reports for July through October of this year. As you know, we wait till the last year's audit is done. And there wouldn't be much to report anyway for the summer months. So we wait until the previous year's audit is done, and now we catch up. And then after this, each month we'll be presenting 1 month's worth of reports.
Okay. On those motions, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? They are approved. And that's items I through N. Turning to O, acceptance of donation.
We have one donation. It's a check in the amount of $50 donated by Christine and Robert Matthews to Setauket Elementary School's Student Council.
I have a motion on that, please. Mrs. Gish, second. Ms. Mendelson, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? The motion carries. With our appreciation, I might. Turning to P, approval of amendment on to contract with an outside service provider for special educational services.
This is just an amendment to our nursing services contract for an agency that we use.
Okay, Ms. Mendelson, second. Mrs. Gish, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Turning to Q, the approval of change order number one for Palace Electrical Contractors.
This change order is for the new maintenance building to run some of the fiber optics for internet access to that building. It's in the amount of $2,666.99.
We have a motion, so move. Please. Dr. Kerman.
Second.
Mrs. Gish. Any discussion?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Jeff, you want to elaborate? The reason we're doing this is so that that building is connected to the rest of our facilities, so that
right,
if something happens
security,
there,
the security
and the cameras
balance,
and everything else,
right.
So it
yes.
goes to our central station.
Exactly.
Because otherwise we have electrical, and that would be all by itself.
Right.
All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carried. Turning to R, the agreement with the town of Brookhaven for sand, salt, and general repairs. We do this every year.
That is correct. We do this every year, and we have it in place in the event of emergency. We have not needed to use this in quite a few years, so hopefully that continues, but we do like to have it in place in the event.
May I have a motion, please? Dr. Kerman, second. Mrs. Gish, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Turning to S, approve adjustment to the meal allowance for overnight conferences.
This was one more thing that was discussed at the audit committee. What we do currently is we have for any overnight conferences that have been approved, we have a meal allowance that we give to any employees. It's based on the number of nights that they would stay. That dollar amount has not increased since, I think it was 2008 when we first established it. So we're recommending this increase. What the federal government and New York State government do is they break areas down into, you know, regions based on cost of living in those regions. So what we're proposing is a two-tier system. Basically, most places will be the lower amount. And then a higher tier based on major cities, such as if we don't have many overnights in New York City, but if we were to, or a city like a Boston, an expensive city where it's a little higher. So, and the rates themselves, I took based on what the federal and New York State per diems were for those areas.
I have a motion on this proposal, please. Dr. Kerman, second. Mrs. Gish, any discussion on this? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Turning to T, selection classification for the winter.
We have four students that have been recommended for participation at the high school varsity level teams, two in winter track and two in fencing.
I have a motion, please. Mrs. Gish, second. Ms. Mendelson, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Turning to item T1, which is the fall class size report. Mrs. Scanlon?
Yes. As of December 1st of this year, the population of Three Village is 6,460 students district-wide, which is the smallest in our history. The elementary level consists of 2,933 students, and the secondary is 3,527. The elementary class size has dropped from last year when it was 22.7 to 20.2. That concludes the report.
Okay. Very good. Any questions on the class size report? What we do. Yes. I just would like to make some observations. Reading the entire report, Mr. Scanlon, I'm concerned, I think a number of us are, some of those higher class sizes, especially at the secondary level of 29 or and above and so forth. English, social studies, that's substantial and so forth. I'm hoping that down the road, budgetary constraints are such that we're going to be able to have classes at a more reasonable level, but I understand we've had to do what we have to do and so forth, but it certainly would be preferable, looking at the higher order learning that we're talking about with Common Core, to have the smaller class size and so forth. Okay, do we make a motion on this? Mrs. Gish, second. Ms. Pavlinka, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Turning to you, the approval of the memorandum of agreement between the Three Village Central School District and the UPSEU Three Village Central School District Monitor Unit. Ms. Mendelson, second. Mr. Kornreich, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Turning to item U1. This is personnel action, establishment of an administrative position. May I have a motion on this, please? Ms. Mendelson, second. Mrs. Gish, any discussion on this?
This was just as a result of the school district had a need to create a new position. In order to put that in the administrative contract, we needed to have this MOA.
Very good. Okay. All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Turning to U2, the approval of agreement between the Three Village Central School District and the Three Village Teachers Association. May I have a motion on this, please, on this particular motion? Ms. Mendelson, second. Mrs. Gish, any discussion on this item? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. And turning to U3, the approval of the agreement between the Three Village Central School District and the Three Village Substitute Teachers Association. Ms. Mendelson, second. Mr. Kornreich, any discussion on this? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? One abstention. Motion carries. Turning to B, personnel matters. We'll do personnel matters instructional first, please. We have a motion on this. So moved. Mrs. Gish, second. Ms. Mendelson, any discussion? Anything significant in this?
Fairly significant, yes. We have we voted?
No. Well, we'll vote, and then okay. We'll vote, and then we'll discuss it.
Excellent.
All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Now we'll discuss it.
I would like to recognize and congratulate Laura Pimentel. You just approved her as our new Assistant Director of Instructional Technology and District Data and Test Coordinator. So congratulations, Laura. Well
Well deserved. Well deserved.
Congratulations to you, Laura. Good. Turning to V2 non-instructional, may I have a motion on that? Ms. Mendelson, second. Ms. Belinka, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Gary, anything on that? All routine on that. Okay. Turning to W, the recommendations of the Committee on Special Education for the meeting dates stated. Ms. Mendelson, second. Mrs. Gish, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. And turning to X, the recommendations of the Committee on Preschool Special Education for the meeting dates stated. Ms. Mendelson, second. Mrs. Gish, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention, motion carries. Turning to number 10, informational items of interest. Are there any information items for the board? Seeing none, I'd like to turn now to our second and final public participation session. Again, as stated previously, this can last as long as 30 minutes, and we ask each individual to limit his or her comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Seeing none, do I have a motion for adjournment? Ms. Mendelson, second. Mrs. Gish, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all of you. Happy holiday, Happy Hanukkah, yes.